This is Sunday morning. This is April 15th, 2018, and we're on part three of The Biggest Lie on Earth. We're just going to pick up with right where we were, and I'm not going to go back. Let me look here. I might have written some things down. Just a second. All right. This has been a long study. All right, we'll just get right into where we left off last week. Psalms 19. The biggest lie on earth. We've been talking about cosmology, Hebrew cosmology, and how the earth is described through scriptures. The shape of the earth, the way God made it. It's dramatically different than what we've been told. All right, what God makes is perfect. 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech, nor spoken word. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, their sayings to the end of the world. Of the heavens has God made a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom going out of his chamber, and it rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its going forth is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the ends of it. And nothing is hidden from the heat of it. Okay, so it's likening the sun as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, how it circuits the earth. And it says there's no part of the planet that it does not touch. Okay. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the person. The testimony of the Lord is simple, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold. They are sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his lapses and errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be blameless, and I shall be innocent and clear of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So David's singing about the cosmology, about how God created, and said his way is perfect. What God did, he did perfect. All right? This should be our prayer. Lord, whatever your word has to say, whatever it may be about, that's what we need to be gospel to us. Not what the world says, not what we've been fed, but truly what the word of God says. Because really, if you think about it, this is the only thing that you can actually rely on. It's the only thing you can actually rely on. And I don't think there's anything that we deal with in the earth, or we will deal with in the earth, that we can't find in here in some form to guide us. Okay? No deception. God's word is infallible, and there's no deception. Okay? NASA says the sun is 93 million miles away. The earth is not spinning or circling around the sun. The sun moves in a circular pattern. It's a pattern path over the earth. We just saw that. The sun comes out like a bridegroom out of his chamber. All right, now let's go over to the book of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, dearly loved by God the Father, and separated and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to you to and exhort to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain men have crept in stealthily. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly persons who pervert the grace of our God into lawlessness, wantonness, immorality, and disown and deny our soul master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, though you were fully informed once for all, that though the Lord delivered a people out of the land of Egypt, he subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has reserved in custody in eternal chains under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and doom of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns, which likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulge in unnatural vice and sensual perversity, are laid out as an exhibit of perpetual of everlasting fire. Nevertheless, in like manner, these dreamers also corrupt the body, scorn and reject authority and government, revile and libel and scoff at the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, judicially argued about the body of Moses, he dared not bring an abusive condemnation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and they do not understand. You know, how many know today that our world and the people of the world know nothing about God's word, nor do they care? They try to subvert everything God's word says. And whatever they do understand physically, like irrational beasts, by these they corrupt themselves and are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have run riotously in the way of Cain and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about this morning, about this wealth that's been stolen. It's all for their gain. The love of money is the root of all evil. I remember the Lord saying to me that the IRS is the most evil institution on the face of this earth. It's one of those that will be taken out. Okay? Perish in rebellion of Korah. These are hidden reefs in your love feast, which they boldly feast sumptuously without scruples, providing for themselves. They are clouds without water, swept along by the winds, trees without fruit at the late autumn gathering time, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their shame and disgrace. This scripture right here, I see it. It's like, is there no shame of these people? They have gone against God's law for so long, they feel like they're entitled and they're doing it blatantly and out in the open, even incriminating themselves, which is good. Makes it easier to arrest them when they come out of hiding. They're showing themselves. We've got a brilliant president. God has given him wisdom, and he's doing things that's causing these people to just show themselves for who they are. He's making it easy for them to come in like the big old dragnet and just take them all away. Wild waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their own shame and disgrace, wandering stars for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. It was of these people, moreover, that Enoch in the seventh from Adam prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the impious of their ungodly deeds which they have committed ungodly, and of all the severe things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They are inveterate murderers who complain, going after their own desires. Their talk is boastful and arrogant." See, this 2030 agenda, this is not anything good. It's about taking you out and exalting them. That's what these people, these corrupt ones, that's what they're doing. It's about furthering their agenda and themselves. And they don't care about you. That's what he's talking about here. Okay, where did I leave off? Okay, 16. They're inveterate murmurers who complain, going after their own desires. Their task is boastful and arrogant. Isn't that the truth? They admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage, their own advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you beforehand in the last days, there will be scoffers, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual, devoid of the spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. It's just nothing but strife. They thrive and live in strife. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He's telling us, how do you deal with this? Pray in the Spirit. Pray a lot in the Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't get into their fray because they're full of hate. They're hate mongers. All they want to do is stir up strife. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto life eternal. And refute, convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver in doubt. Save others, snatch them out of fire. On others take pity with fear, loathing even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Some, they just don't know any better and you can help them, but there's others, they're just hardened and they will never come back. And anyway. Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling and to present unblemished before the presence of his glory and triumph, joy, and exultation, to the only one only God, our Savior, through Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, dominion, power, authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So he's telling us about the world we live in. But he's telling us, stay in love, pray in the Spirit, because we're the ones that has been given power and authority. They think they're all that. And they think they're getting away with things, and they are so smug sometimes. You just want to slap their faces. But the sad thing is, they don't know anything. They don't know who they're fighting against. You know, they better not touch some things, or they might be found to be fighting against God, and their end will not be good. I saw a YouTube video yesterday. I didn't open it, but it was Whoopi Goldberg and somebody else insulting Jesus. I thought, oh my God, surely they don't know what they do. Yeah, it was on some talk show, you know. Yeah. All right, let's turn over to Joshua. God, his way is perfect. What he made is perfect. His way is perfect. It don't matter what men are trying to do or what they think they're going to do. It's never going to hold up. We win. God wins. I've read the back of the book. He wins. And we win too. Joshua chapter 10. Okay, Joshua. Let's look at verse 7. We already looked at this scripture. We're going to look at it again. I think I read to you how fast the earth is spinning. Anyway, so Joshua went up from Gilgal, and he, all the warriors with him, and all the mighty men of valor. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hand. There shall not a man of them stand before you." See, God, when we listen to him, or ask him, he will give us strategies. He'll give us exact instructions. And when we carry it out, we can expect the results like Joshua got, like Jesus got. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having gone up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord caused to panic before Israel, who slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goes up to Mount Hermon, and smote them as far as Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel, while they were descending to Beth Horon, the Lord cast great hailstones from the heavens on them as far as Azekah, killing them. More died because of the hailstones, and the Israelites slew with the sword. So God supernaturally intervened. Can we expect no less during this time of the overtaking of the cabal? I prayed that, Lord, let them know your strategies and your ways. Intervene. Intervene in these situations where they think they're hiding and they can't get to. Send your angels. You've got storehouses. We looked at that. He's got storehouses of hell, it says. to do battle, to take out evil. So, okay, angels, go get that hell and get them evil people taken care of. If Joshua couldn't do it, can't we? Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, be silent and stand still at Gibeon, and you, moon, in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the nation took vengeance upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. So he didn't have to stop the earth from spinning because it wasn't spinning. We've already established that the earth is stationary. So he stopped the sun. The sun stood still. The moon. They're the ones that are on this circuit that we read in Psalms 19. Okay. All right. Zechariah 1:11. And the men on the horses answered the angel of the Lord, who stood among the myrtle trees, and said, "We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sits at rest." Okay, the earth is sitting at rest. The earth and the moon are in their circuit above the earth, okay? All right, turn over to Chronicles 16. I don't know if it's 1 Chronicles or 2. Let me look. It has to be first because there's no 30. So, "Tremble and reverently fear before him, all the earth's peoples. The world also shall be established so it cannot be moved." You know, this is the way the devil is. If God says the earth is flat, he says, no, it's round. If the Lord says the earth is still, the devil says, no, it's traveling all these millions of miles an hour or whatever, thousands of miles an hour. That's just the way he is. If God said, no, it's white, the devil would say, no, it's black. That's just his way, contrary to everything God says. All right, Psalms 93. Verse 1. "The earth reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is robed. He has girded himself with strength and power. The world also is established that it cannot be moved." "The truth of our stationary earth is confirmed by the fact that our view of the constellations have not changed in thousands of years." "Modern scientists say that our solar system has been flying through the universe at tens of thousands of miles per hour." Which is easier to believe? The scriptures or what they say? "It's not possible to get perfect circular time-lapse star trails around Polaris if the Earth is spinning, orbiting the sun, and flying through the universe for thousands of years." Do I need to read that again? Okay, now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Polaris is stationary. It's an R star. Okay. In the north. 1 Corinthians 3:18. "Let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For this world's wisdom is foolishness." I like the way Amplified puts it, "absurdity and stupidity with God. For it is written, He lays hold of the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts and reasonings of the wise and recognizes how futile they are. That's what God thinks about all these PhDs. It's got all this wisdom about the universes and all this stuff. They don't know. It's made up. They can't even get any pictures. They have to draw the pictures. The NASA Space Agency was started after World War II. They smuggled in Nazi scientists in Operation Paperclip. Satan raised up NASA and other agencies to promote his agenda and discredit God. If you look at any of the things online, it'll show NASA and it shows a serpent. This is the great end time delusion, the alien disclosure. I didn't listen to all of it. It was quite lengthy, but it was just a man, and it was three other guys, and they were using their Bibles to try to see if what this dream this guy had was legitimate, and it was credible. But what the guy had, it was a dream of a false rapture. And in this false rapture, he said it was so strong that he nearly got sucked in. His whole family got taken away. But he said in that, he remembered he had two Bibles, and he said he kept saying, okay, which one? They both look the same. The Bibles both look the same, trying to discern which one to believe in the dream. But he said he was nearly enticed by this. It was like a big show in the sky, kind of like something you'd see in a movie. All these machines and all these things and all this. She said, what's weird? Spider-Man was in it. And said cars would come and hit me and it'd just bounce off of me. It wouldn't hurt me at all. But all the show was going on, all this flashy stuff like you're at a movie. And he said he started to look at one of these machines because these machines were trying to interact with the people and the people would get caught up with these machines and it would take them. But he said he started to focus on that thing and he said, I realized he has chronic pain. He said, I realized I still had pain. He said, this isn't real. This isn't Jesus. And he said, I took off running and I ran in the house. I said, I'm going to wait for Jesus. And he said, it all disappeared. False. A false rapture. And then he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of people that had dreams similar to that, of a warning of something coming that would delude people into thinking that it was actually the rapture and actually God. Isn't there a place that says it could even deceive the elect? See, this man was a Christian. But he knew, but you know when it talks about we're changed, it's like when he comes, we are immediately like him. When we see him, we shall be like him. There won't be no more pain. There won't be any of these things. There won't be no natural stuff. We'll be immortal or this corruption will put on incorruption. This is immediate. So, you know, he does put things in his word that we can use as signs when things happen, okay? All right. I mean, some people will be caught up in it. It says he's going to send a strong delusion. We're going to have to know our word. We're going to have to know our God and what the word of God says. His way is perfect, and he'll keep us from the evil one. So don't be caught up in this silliness. It's all silliness. It's foolishness. What is it? Hollywood. That's what it is. They were talking about the chemtrails that, a lot of people think they're spraying the clouds. I think you said it's like to influence weather systems, you know, to get it to rain. They seed the clouds and do kinds of things. And he said they were talking about a fact that what chemtrails are, they use this same substance to do holograms. So what they were doing in the sky were holograms. These were things that look real, but they weren't real. Okay. All right. The alien disclosure, arrival of beings who claim to be from another planet in outer space. TV shows and movies and NASA, Freemason astronauts have set the stage. How? Propaganda. TV, movies, internet, whatever, to get you to believe a lie. See, the devil's, like I said, he's like Felix the cat. He's got tricks, and he just tries to trick us. He can't create anything. He never has and never will. He just tries to delude, destroy what God's created. Make a man want another man, or a woman want another woman. I mean, come on. He's sick. Okay. Sci-fi movies. These alien beings are fallen angels and their offspring, the Nephilim, who will claim to be extraterrestrials. Some Christians will even believe it. Some Christians do believe it, sad to say. Beware. The Pope, the last Pope, will be the false prophet. They're the ones that are got Lucifer looking for these extraterrestrials right now. Now, I know the reason some Christians believe that, no, they're alien beings. They're not demons because of CERN. CERN, that collider, that they've opened some portals. Well, they originally made that so that these elites could escape here and go somewhere else. They're really messed up. They still don't get it. You're not getting off this planet. There's nowhere to go except where the goblins go below. I mean, really, that's the truth. But anyway, CERN, I've heard two different reports that CERN has been destroyed, where it can't be used. But they believe that things have been lit into this earth that shouldn't be lit into this earth. But I don't know that I believe that or not. That's just what some people say. Okay, we talked about, you know, Admiral Byrd and what he supposedly saw. What I believe he saw was the firmament. I think he saw what God has made. And the government didn't want any to say it. So they made up this cock and bull stuff about these, you know, alien beings in Antarctica. All right. Genesis 6. When men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all they desired and chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh, but his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, and the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were men, were of old men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Now, I used to think that the reason that, their thinking was evil, and I thought it was probably homosexuality, and I do believe it because of what happened to Noah and his grandson, but I believe it was because of these sons of God mating with earth women. I think this was the one that it says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man. I believe that we will see this again. It'll be revisited. And so I think that's why God had to destroy him, was because of that. Homosexuality, I think, opens the door. It's just like you opened the Pandora's box and just let in things that we've never seen before on this earth. Now I want to read Zechariah chapter 5, or 1:5, I think it is. 5:1-11 is what I've got written down. Zechariah is a really cool book. Talks about the end time, confirms some things in Revelation. Now, I had a picture, but I couldn't get it to come out good to show you as I read this. Okay, you there? Mm-hmm. Again, I lift up my eyes, and behold, I saw a scroll flying or floating in the air. And the angel said to me, What do you see? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits or 30 feet. And its breadth is 10 cubits or 15 feet. Then he said to me, This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. For everyone who steals shall be cut off from henceforth according to it. And everyone who swears falsely shall be cut off from henceforth according to it. I will bring forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him who swears falsely by my name, It shall abide in the midst of his house and shall consume it, both its timber and its stones. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, lift up now your eyes and see what this is that goes forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this that goes forth is an ephah. Now I looked up an ephah. An ephah looked like a flying saucer. I'm not kidding you. It was a vessel, and it looked like a flying saucer. This that goes forth is an ephah for separate grains. Well, let's see. Thus he continued. It is the symbol of the sinners mentioned above and is the resemblance of their iniquity throughout the whole land. Behold, a round, flat weight of lead was lifted, and there sat a woman in the midst of the ephah. Weird. And he said, this is lawlessness. And he thrust her back into the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth of it. Sounds like a opening, doesn't it? Yeah. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. Now, there's no women angels. We know that from Scripture. So these are not the only time we hear of spirits, you know, like Jezebel and stuff. These are could be female, but they're not God's angels. Okay. Then said I to the angel who talked with me, where are these? They taking the ephah? And he said to me, to the land of Shinar, to build it a house. And when it is finished, to set up the ephah vessel, the symbol of such sinners and their guilt, there upon its own base. You know, judge for yourself what it means. But I thought, really? That's weird. I can't say that I understand it fully. Okay, the giants are found all through the Old Testament. Jesus gave us this warning in Matthew. As according to this man having the dream, he tells us, don't go. If they say he's over here, don't go over there. That's a warning. Don't go over there. Because when he comes, we're going to all sing. Okay, he's going to come from the east and from the west. Okay, 24:23. If anyone says to you then, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Now this may seem silly to you today, but I'm telling you, the devil is serious about what he's doing. See, I've warned you beforehand. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out there. If they tell you, behold, he is in the secret places or inner rooms, do not believe it. For just as the lightning flashes from the east and shines and is seen as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, we're supposed to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Okay, we're nearly done here. Aren't you glad? The Word of God is the ruler that we measure everything against. Look in the book. If you have a doubt, look in the book. Don't look for signs. Look in the book. Satan also appears as an angel of light. He's into signs. How will this transpire? If enough people know the truth, maybe it will be exposed for the deception that it is, and it won't ever happen. Pray for President Trump that his Christian counsel will be able to impart to him the truth, especially all this alien junk. How we confront these giants? We do it like David did. Never forget, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.